You are listening to Clearly Connected, a podcast that inspires new ways to reconnect to ourselves, to others, and to our natural environment in a world where so many of us are disconnected. I'm your host, Carrie Doan. I'm a pleasure coach, an entrepreneur, an advocate for change, and a believer in all things possible. Today, I'm so excited to be having a chat with my youngest guest yet, 16-year-old Anna Barrow, to talk about the importance of creatively expressing yourself. We hope that through this discussion, you'll find it within yourself to more freely share who you are with the world. So many wise words spill from the mouth of this young woman, so you're in for a treat. I'm so glad you're here to join us as we find the courage to live out loud, express who we are, while moving into a more deeply connected way of living. Welcome back, everyone. So today I have the honor of interviewing my youngest guest yet, 16-year-old Anna Barrow, to talk about the importance of self-expression and how finding ways to creatively convey who we are to the world, whether that's through words, actions, art, or even your wardrobe, can drive us closer to aligning to who we truly are and not who others say we should be. It takes courage to step away from the masses and reveal our unique selves, but it's also one that liberates us and inspires others toward their own self-expression. So before we dive in, a little bit about my guest. Anna is a homeschooled artist and a creative who enjoys drawing, music, and listening to podcasts. She is passionate about learning new things, having the freedom to share ideas and stories, while figuring out who she is and where she best fits in the world. So Anna, I'm so glad to have you with me today.
I love this intro. So cool.
I know, this is such a fun thing to talk about because, you know, I think we all want to find ways to express ourselves, and yet so many people are held back from doing that, I think, for fear or maybe even not knowing how to. So I think you have some great wisdom and insights.
Thank you.
So, okay, before we get into some of the bigger questions, I always start by asking my guests if they could, you know, tell us a little bit about your story of creativity and how you have come to more fully express yourself.
My story. So I started doing art when I was 12 years old. I picked up one of those. I don't know if you know about them, but they're these like Christopher Hart anime books, how to draw anime. And I was just like, okay, sure, I'll do this. But that went somewhere. Mm-hmm. I've been doing that for the past 4 years. And I've gone from someone who thought I knew what I was doing and didn't have to listen to anybody about it to someone who enjoys learning from other artists and knows that I have a long way to go.
Yeah, well, I think it's so cool that you, even at that young age, we're tapping into this part of yourself, right? Like, I don't know about you, but I personally, as I grew up, I think I drifted away from this ability to express, whether it was through a creative outlet like music or art. I just kind of this emphasis on conforming, I think, more. So to me, it seems like you've been able to maintain that throughout your childhood.
Well, on some level, yes. On some level, I don't know. I think when we're kids, it comes a little more naturally to us to just be an open book and to like just want to express ourselves because we don't really know anything else, right? Kids are usually not very good at lying. Well, I suppose it depends on the kid. But when you're a kid, you tend to be more creative. But as you get a little older, right, you start to realize that not all forms of self-expression are considered to be good self-expression. Mm. And I think especially in middle and high school, people will get bullied a lot if they continue to express themselves in the way that they did as children, right?
Yeah.
You can see this in person, like just with people not feeling, slowly learning to not express themselves and to hide parts of who they are. And I think online, like the kind of cringe culture that's built around, oh, well, you're doing this thing. It's weird. I don't like it. And I don't like you.
Mm, yeah. So you bring up such a great point. I think the bullying, the judgment that you experience, I think almost everybody has experienced in school, it causes you to be less vulnerable.
And I think there's kind of a focus from adults to like, oh, you're growing up. You need to take things more seriously. You need to stop acting like a little kid. You need to, instead of, you know, running around the room, you gotta sit still, which is like, yeah, I understand that sitting still is fine, right? For some people, most people. But, and that's kind of staying in one place all day. Yeah. But it's, you know, there's not less encouragement for being creative and more encouragement for not being creative.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. Definitely. I mean, I see this especially amongst middle schoolers, I think, is when it tends to happen. That's the big time.
Because that's when you start to, whenever you see someone else doing something weird, you're not just cringing at them, you're cringing at yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, and that's when I think it doesn't feel as safe to put yourself out there.
Because you're starting to look back and be like, ooh, I said that thing one time. Mm. That was so weird of me. I'm not good. Right. You're starting to become more self-aware. And with that self-awareness comes good things, right? We start to realize more of who we are as people. And but there's also negative things. We realize that, oh, well, I'm not all that great, am I?
Yeah, or maybe adopt beliefs like that you're not great based on the reactions you're getting from people, the negative reactions.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, then you maybe compromise parts of yourself.
Yeah.
Because of that. So
especially middle school. Middle school is so bad. You could have like, I didn't have the worst middle school experience ever because, like, I'm homeschooled. I go to, like, private institutes. I don't know what you'd call them. Co-ops. But, and not public school. But middle school is so bad. You could, like, have a weird haircut or something and people would be like, ew, they're so weird.
Yeah. Yeah, the judgment is thick, for sure. And this,
for sure.
This kind of bleeds into the question I was going to ask you around, you know, what were some of the challenges that you experienced? Was it bullying or was it, you know, just feeling this, it's lack of safety, I can't really express who I am? What did that look like for you?
Well, I grew up kind of sheltered, I guess you could call it. I didn't go outside, like, well, I went outside to parks and stuff, you know? But I never really went to a lot of public spaces in certain times of my life where, like, most people would be like, oh, I'm going to the mall with my friends. I'm going to the store to pick up some groceries. I'm going to whatever that people my age and a little bit younger usually do. I didn't do a lot of that. And I kind of, it made me nervous to be in public places because I felt like I wasn't supposed to be there, no matter what kind of place it is, right? And I still get this sometimes, plenty of times, but feeling just like I don't know. When you are dealing with anxiety issues, I think your thoughts kind of warp. It's like if I say something weird, now everyone wants me to die.
Like the judgment's there, right? So, yes, you mentioned this in a previous conversation we had about the kind of anxiety that you we're dealing with, which makes sense if you don't feel safe in certain contexts, that it will create this anxiety. So how did that impact you, and how did you work through some of that? Because now you seem to be a lot more free.
I'm a little bit better.
I think it's pretty wild how much you've grown. And so I'd love to know more if you're open to sharing, like, what was that experience like with anxiety and how did you work through that?
Well, within the past year, I started seeing a counselor, and it was for an unrelated issue called trichotillomania. If you want to look that up, look that up, but I don't feel like talking about it here.
Sure.
And I went to my counselor, and she was like, yeah, you have several symptoms of depression. And that was, it was sort of a shock, and it was sort of not a shock, you know. It was kind of, from what I understand from what she told me, I don't have major depressive disorder, but kind of recognizing that something was wrong in the way that my life is, kind of, I think that puts you on the path to making things better.
Yes. Yeah, just the awareness of, like, you know, something's not quite right, and then having this kind of aha moment where it's like, oh, well, that makes sense. There's other things going on. You know, maybe some of that was tied to your inability to express yourself, right?
Maybe.
Yeah. So you've now have been working through that. And to me, when I see you, you strike me as someone who's so open and expressive with your words, with your wardrobe, with who you are as a person. And I'm just wondering, like, do you have awareness of what allowed you to open up to feeling that safety again? Was it just working with this counselor?
I don't really know. I think it's focusing more on, like, figuring out who you are and just doing the things that make you happy instead of the things that don't make you happy. I really like Marie Kondo. I've read her, there's like a manga version of her book that's way easier to read, and it was like, oh, I see. You can kind of sort out the things in your life and look at them and be like, is this actually making me happy, you know? And if it's not, then why bother with it anymore, you know? If it's not doing anything for you, then it's just like, well, thank you, I'm letting this go.
Yes. Oh my gosh. What you're saying is, like, it's so simple and beautiful, and yet so many people struggle with it.
Yeah.
Truly. I mean, it's like, well, why would you do anything that doesn't make you happy? But we do it all the time because there's pressure from society, because We operate from feeling like we should do something out of obligation, and that robs us of our joy. Mm-hmm. But I'm so with you. I mean, taking stock of what are those things and then releasing the ones that aren't serving you, right?
Yeah. It's like Marie Kondo specifically, that's more about like stuff in your home, right? But, you know, stuff is part of your life. It's part of kind of who you are, as in the like the world around you. When I started going to the counselor, actually, is when I started realizing how much physicality, like, impacts my mood. Stuff like the weather and my desk. Like, even things as simple as that. It's like, well, sometimes your environment isn't bringing you joy, and you need to have a different environment.
Yes. Environment is so key, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like, well, if I sit in my chair all day in this dim room on my phone every day, I'm not going to be very happy because, like, that's a bummer. You know?
Yeah. Yes, definitely. And I'm thinking, like, I want to switch gears a little bit and get into some bigger questions.
Right, right.
And ask you, why do you think creating or self-expressing in a creative way is so important?
I think it's important because if you don't feel like you're expressing yourself, if you just feel like you're having a performance as who you are to the rest of the world, like, that sucks. It doesn't feel good. It doesn't feel like anyone truly likes you because they don't know you, right? Who they see is not who you are. So trying to make who they see more who you are, trying to be more openly yourself, it's scary, but it's important, I think.
Yeah. Yes, it's really, really important, I think, because it's what you're saying reminds me of, like, wearing masks. You know, I'm thinking even about COVID and how we're all wearing these masks. And it, what does it do? Well, it hides a part of you from the world. And there's so many other things that we do that hide us, that, you know, for all these reasons we talked about earlier, we didn't feel safe. We felt judged if we would express. It's too vulnerable and risky and scary. But the cost is that you're going to feel trapped in some way.
Yeah, and
that
may, exactly.
It may manifest in depression, anxiety, or other ways. So there is a freedom that you gain when you make that risky choice to say, you know what, I'm going to be me.
And of course, in order to be yourself, you have to figure out who that is. And you can't figure out who you are if you don't feel like it's a safe place to figure out who you are. You know? Like, if I'm in a place where I feel like I can only be a certain type of person, then, well, there's no incentive for me to figure out who I really am. Because if I'm not that specific type of person, there will be consequences for me. Bad ones. And it's just, you know, that type of environment isn't healthy.
Right. And this is something that I've spent a lot of time more recently thinking about is, what does it look like to create psychological safety for other people, for yourself even, you know, in a work context, in a relationship context, even in schools? I think some schools are better at this than others, but for the most part, because you're in these environments that are just kind of about efficiency mm-hmm. and the end product and the outcome. And it's like, do whatever needs to be done to get that outcome. You're compromising that safe environment and then therefore mm-hmm. compromising the human beings that are within it. So thinking about those realities, it's like, well, how do we create safety so that people can feel the freedom to be themselves? I mean, this is like a big kind of meta question.
I have no idea personally. Well, I know I found more safety in environments where I can be with people. I think when you're with someone one-on-one, it's a little bit easier to, like, feel a little safer. Because mm-hmm. when you're in, like, a very public environment with a lot of people that you don't know super well, like, I don't feel comfortable.
mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, there's more
like,
variables.
Yeah, there's more variables. I don't know what I might do that could be weird or upsetting to someone. I don't know what I could say that would be taboo, especially because, like, no one says anything, like, out loud, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't mean words. I just mean, like, no one comes out and says, like, what the rules are for life. Like, I don't know if they're out there somewhere or if I just have to figure this out, but I think maybe part of anxiety is feeling like there's a whole bunch of unspoken rules mm-hmm. that you can't figure out what they are. And that's why I think I've been afraid to go in public spaces, because I feel like I'm gonna, like, violate some rule by accident. Mm-hmm. And then I don't know what bad would happen. Like, maybe I accidentally steal something in the mall and then the security guards come and,
yeah,
and get me.
Right.
Like, obviously, I don't think that would happen, but...
Yeah.
But it feels, in the moment, like you're gonna do something wrong.
Right. Oh, gosh, I think...
And you don't even know what it is.
Yeah, you put words to that really well. Like, maybe anxiety is this belief that there are these unspoken rules. You don't know what they are. You're trying to figure them out. You're trying to figure out where you fit.
Or, like, maybe that's, like, just a me problem. But I don't know.
I would imagine it's bigger than you. I really do. And I think, you know, going back to what we were saying about safety, to me, I hear that you probably encounter that in therapy. And that's where so mm-hmm. many people
yeah,
do.
Yeah, it feels... that's... part of why I feel I've had such, like, improvement there is because it feels like, oh, this is a safe environment to, like, just talk about how I actually feel and think. Mm-hmm. So, whereas everywhere else, it's like, I don't know if I can say what I feel and think because I don't know if there's anything I might be doing wrong by saying that.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I would add to that, that, you know, safety in a person would probably equate to that person being non-judgmental, mm-hmm. that person being accepting.
And, a good listener.
Yep. And curious. And so...
You're a very good listener, by the way, Carrie.
Oh, thank you. I really
appreciate that about you.
Oh, I really... Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I think, you know, for me, it's like people want to be seen. They mm-hmm. want to be heard and accepted. And until you can offer that non-judgmental space to somebody, they may not ever feel the safety to let you in
yeah.
on who they actually are. So I'm a huge advocate of at least having conversations about releasing judgment. What does that look like? Creating mm-hmm. acceptance in spite of differences. Because the more we can do that, the more people will be able to be themselves.
Yes. You know? Yes.
So, okay, given all of that, I want to know, like, what are the ways that you prefer to creatively express yourself?
So, I like drawing. I've gone on plenty of a journey there, improving that. I recently discovered that I think I enjoy making videos, which is totally new. I have no idea where I'm going there. I have no idea where it's going to take me, but I'm hopeful and nervous, but hopeful there. And I think one of these days I want to start making music. Because I've, like, wanted to do that for quite a while, but I've never really figured out, like, how do I do that?
Yeah, but you have a curiosity there, I can tell.
Yes.
Well, and I'll add to that. So I didn't say this earlier, but I've known Anna since you were, what, 5?
Yeah, something like that.
3 or 5? So
I was so cute as a little kid.
She has had the cutest curls, ringlets in her red hair since day one. And so we've known
it's not red, is it?
Well, red-ish.
It is now, like, because I dyed it, but
yes,
when I was little.
Yeah.
When I was really little, my hair was blonde for some reason, but then I grew up and it was brown.
It changes. It changes like we do.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I've known you for what, over 10 years, and I've watched you grow and evolve, and now I see you even expressing yourself with your wardrobe. It's so unique and it's so you. Like there's color to it. There's I don't know how to describe it to our listeners, but it's like Anna has her own way of wearing these textures and things that just fit her so well. And your hairstyle it's different. Like it's you and your glasses. So I've seen you kind of grow into that way of kind of being you more in this, I don't know, external way. And also with your words. Like I remember a couple months ago when I was talking to you and you're expressing so well your thoughts and your insights. And I thought, oh my God, like you have massively grown in this way. And that's when I said, I need you on this podcast to talk about this.
It's because I talk to myself a lot, like way too much. So,
well, that's probably.
And I if I'm going to talk to myself, I might as well have something interesting to say or I'll get bored.
There you go. So I just say that to share that I think you have grown exponentially. You're well ahead of your years in this, especially this area of just feeling that freedom to be you. I think it's beautiful. So given all of this, let's say somebody's listening and they feel stuck in their creativity or they feel afraid to tap in or reveal part of themselves to the world. What would you say to them to help them get unblocked or to know where to start?
Well, I have a couple different things and they're all kind of in different veins. So one is if you feel like you're in a place where you can't express yourself publicly, like you need to, I don't want, like it sounds harsh to just say get better friends, but you need to have at least one person around you that you feel like you can just talk to, right? And for me, there's someone who I've known for a long time, since I was like 11 or 12, and she is my bestie. And I know I can talk to her about whatever. And if you feel like you don't have, you know, anywhere that you feel safe to be yourself, like, find at least one person that you feel safe being yourself around. Whether that's in person or online. Like, obviously be wary online when you're talking to people. But,
yeah.
Wherever you can find someone who is a good person who can listen and be there for you, that is very important. My second thing, if it comes to art and you feel creatively blocked, one of the things if you're struggling with being a little, I think we can be a little self-centered, right? Only focus on ourselves. And I think really learning to open up and be appreciative of other people's art is basically the most helpful thing that ever happened to me art-wise, is looking at other people's art.
Yeah. Wow. It kind of like pulls you out of your experience and then it expands your appreciation for what other people are creating out in the world.
Uh-huh. And if you're someone who has issues comparing yourself to other people, or if you're someone who's an advanced artist and you feel like kind of the circle of artists around you aren't presenting fresh enough concepts, then maybe it's time to look outside of just art for your inspiration. Whether that is, like, going on a walk in nature, or taking inspiration from architecture, or from, you know, plants and animals, or from movies, or from, like, anything that is kind of outside your circle or your comfort zone. Because I know, at least in my artistic circle, things can get a little samey. Right? If it's like, oh, we're all teenagers / young adults, we started drawing with anime, but now it's more on the cartoon art style side, sort of realistic, and it's like, okay, well, you're all in kind of the same place. It's time to look outside yourself, whether that's maybe you have a very stylized art style, and maybe it's time that you look and appreciate some very realistic things and learn something new there, or vice versa. Or look at something that's very abstract and very different. If you're someone who uses a lot of color, maybe it would be helpful for you to try to do some things in black and white. Like, find something that's different and outside your comfort zone. If you're feeling blocked, because I think challenge is something that it gives you limitations, and challenge kind of helps you get out of your comfort zone and be more creative.
Yeah. Wow. I love that. You're speaking to this idea of adding diversity, and then expanded thought. And I think that's so wise, so wise. And I want to put an exclamation point on what you said about the people that you're around. This has been one of the number one things that has changed my life, because when you find those people who can value and appreciate you for who you really are, then the safety is there. Then the expression comes and you can take bigger risks and put yourself out there more. And again, like, that's true freedom, right?
Yeah.
To be fully you. So you've shared so many wise words today. And I don't know. I'm just kind of amazed here at what, the age of 16, you already have so much awareness that I think.
Well, you're someone who's very good at asking good questions and kind of listening, but also like adding on in a way that makes it easier to have new thoughts around the, I appreciate that.
Thank you, Anna. This is dialogue, right? I always tell people that's where so many ideas and insights can spark, when two people are flowing in the conversation. And that's the whole goal of this podcast, really, is to, like, spark those new ideas.
I think it's good to find people who you can really flow in conversation with. Like, sometimes you'll have that kind of chemistry and you, like, won't know the person very well. And, like, I'm sure that that kind of thing doesn't necessarily mean that they're a good person. But I think it's, like, a good sign, usually.
Yeah.
If you can really have, if you flow well in conversation with someone.
Beautiful.
It's a good sign.
Yes, 100%. Okay, well, I'm going to wrap this up by asking you a question I ask all my guests, which is, what are you up to these days that has you excited?
What am I up to these days? I am excited about... I'm excited about learning new things. I'm excited about art. I'm excited about... There's this one D&D podcast I'm really into, but that's kind of silly.
Well, silly is good, you know? I think it's great. There's so much curiosity and enthusiasm I hear in your exploratory process of becoming more of yourself and bringing yourself to the world. So
thank you.
I love that. I love it.
Thank you so much for having me. Yeah. Like, this is such a fun opportunity.
Oh, it's been such a pleasure to have you here in this conversation and, you know, sharing your thoughts on why we all need to tap into our creativity so that we can just more fully show up as ourselves. I think you're wise beyond your years. So thank you so much for being here. And, you know, I'll give one caveat that Anna is an artist. So if you know Anna in real life and you want to see her art or maybe talk to her about the podcast, then you can go ahead and reach out to her personally. Mm-hmm. So on that note, just want to say thanks for listening, everyone. And I just invite you to consider in your own lives what it would look like to step out and tap into your creativity as you bring your unique voice and expression to a world that needs it. If this episode resonated with you, I have something you're going to love. As you may know, part of what helps me live whole and connected to myself is embracing a life full of pleasure. Building a coaching business centered on pleasure has allowed me the freedom to work from anywhere in the world while choosing to work with clients that I love. So if you're curious about what it means to add more joy in your life, I have a free resource for 5 ways to cultivate pleasure to give you the steps through that process and toward a life that feels so good. I will link it in the show notes, so definitely check it out if you're interested. I'm so glad you joined us, and remember to stay connected.